I thank you for my brother, the leader of this community, Lord, that you've placed something on his heart to share today, Lord. I pray that his words will be anointed. I pray that he will speak the truth, Lord, and that somebody will be really changed by an encounter with you today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be together. I haven't got any notes today. I just want to share as a friend from the heart, so it may not be the most well-oiled bit of communication I've done. But as I was preparing, I just felt really I've been really drawn to Mary Magdalene this Christmas. I've just been kind of just reading her story, just kind of looking into kind of who she was, and just getting really inspired by her, and just felt like I just wanted to share just some of, I suppose, what kind of God's challenged me about as I've kind of read about her. So that's kind of just what I want to share. And it's not going to take very long. I think I've got about 10 minutes worth of material. And then I've asked Al to come and share some thoughts. And we're just going to make a bit of space and kind of see what God wants to do this morning. So yeah, but before I start, during the worship, I felt reminded of a verse that I read this week, which I then wrote on my hand because I wanted to remember it. I just really loved it. I just felt like it linked in with the song that Andy was just playing about kind of God's faithfulness. And it's just this, it's Proverbs 4, verse 18, and it's from The Message. And it just says, "The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine." Isn't that lush? Yes. The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. That's cool, isn't it? And I just thought, like, I wrote it on my hand and I just thought, that's what I want to be like. I just want, as I get older, I just want to shine brighter. And it's not to say that we don't go through dark times in our souls and tough times and sad times, but actually the general trajectory of what God is doing on the inside of us is one of brighter and brighter and brighter as we go through life. That's cool, isn't it? It's about the faithfulness of God walking with us. So yeah, that's my prayer for us as a church. The longer we go, the brighter we shine. So, yeah, Mary Magdalene, she's really cool. She's like a total inspiration. Magdalene is not her surname. Magdala was a place. So it's like saying Dave from Marlowe, like Jesus of Nazareth. Like Magdala was a place. It's like there's lots of Marys. And it was like, oh, Mary, she's the one from Magdala, Mary Magdalene. And she was likely to have been a lady of wealth or of means and resource because she followed Jesus around everywhere, and it's likely that she was part of the group of women who financed the ministry, what he was doing. And Magdala was quite a wealthy area. It was known for basically producing and dyeing cloth. She kind of enters the story with just like a little line of, Mary Magdalene, the one who Jesus freed from seven demons. And that's it. You don't really hear much about like what that's about, what's the history, what was that like. But we do know that in some way, and I don't really want to kind of explore like, what does that actually mean? What's our understanding of demons and dark, the dark spiritual side of things? But either way, she was like a deeply afflicted woman. In some way, a woman who had kind of, some issues, and Jesus healed her, basically. And I think the fact that it's in there, the fact that it's in the story, means that actually it was a public thing, so it would have required humility. My understanding of just my journey with Jesus is that often actually like I can get messed up. I can kind of take things on. I can make bad choices. I can let certain things into my life. I can create little false idols and just, get obsessed with things which might not necessarily be the right things to get obsessed with. And actually it takes a real like humility at times to go, actually, you know what, Jesus, I'm a bit messed up at the moment. And actually I just want to say like yes to to your freedom. I want to say yes to your healing. I want to kind of just submit my own kind of, you know, ways to you. And, you know, it takes not being prideful to say yes to Jesus sometimes, and to let go of the things we carry, and to let go of some of the story and some of the journey that we might have taken. It some of these things can kind of, like, they can become part of your identity, you know, like, hey man, I'm kind of the crazy one, I'm a bit messed up, or, you know, whatever. Actually, it takes sometimes a real humility and a real courage, because it's scary to let some of those things go. And it would have taken humility and courage right at the start of Mary's journey to actually just say yes to Jesus. Because he doesn't just come in and just, like, just change us. It's permission based. And so she was one of the people who just, like, when she met Jesus, there was something about her where she was like, you know what? I just say yes. I say yes. And I don't care that it's going to be embarrassing, that people are going to know that I've got loads of junk, because obviously people knew about it. And it might be scary, but I'm going to say yes to you, Jesus. And right at the start, something in her heart, like something in the divine, you know, of the divine, captured her heart. And she said yes, right at the beginning, to Jesus. And she followed him around. And I thought I was going to share about, you know, her then extravagant worship and her costly worship. Because I thought she was the lady who washed Jesus's feet with her hair and her tears and the expensive perfume. But it turns out this is quite a controversial topic. There are basically kind of two schools of thought. There's like a pope who basically said that she was a prostitute, and that's kind of massively tarnished her name. But actually, and there's kind of a bit of a school of thought based around the fact that there was like a kind of a reference to like her having long hair and exposed hair, and, you know, that's why you could possibly think that she was like a prostitute. But actually, there was not much evidence at all to suggest that she was that person. And the person who, you know, she's unnamed. And it's like every other reference, Mary Magdalene, is named. And so my conclusion is that actually she wasn't the person who then washed Jesus' hair with her feet and her tears. Later on, she's there, you know, in the trial and, you know, of Jesus, when he's being tried, when stuff's getting real, stuff's getting scary, tensions mounting, the military's getting involved, it's like it's political, it's mobbish, it's like scary place, and others are bailing out, others are getting disillusioned, others are getting discouraged, and Mary, she sticks at it, and she is there at the foot of the cross when Jesus is dying, and when Jesus dies, she is there. She is faithful. She is the one that she just digs deep. When others are just kind of scattering and bailing out, she actually goes, you know what, this is brutal. This is traumatic. This is painful, but I'm not going to bail out. I'm going to stick there. I'm going to watch. I'm going to commit. I know that that I'm committed to this guy. And she's there. She's one of the few that are there. And when they lay him down, and they bury him. Others have gone home. Some are leaving town. But Mary, she's there. And the next morning, she doesn't know it, but she's positioned herself for the most incredible encounter, most privileged encounter in all of human history. She gets up early when others are having a lie-in, when others are just in bed, just, you know, chilling out or mourning, or just, you know, just being traumatized and beaten up and knackered and just feeling disillusioned and scared. She is there. She's there first thing. I don't know why, but she just feels like she needs to be there. She wants to get there early, you know, beat the crowds to just sort out his body with the perfumes and the spices, just to show her respect. And she's positioned herself unknowingly to be the first person to meet the risen Christ. And it's amazing. And she doesn't recognize him. And she meets with Jesus, and she clings to him. And then Jesus sends her. She says yes to being sent. She's the first person to be sent. Take the message of my fact that I've risen from the dead, the risen one, the firstborn of all creation. The first newborn, first new creation. She's the apostle to the apostles. She's the sent one to the sent ones. That's fundamentally one of the reasons why we like have the theology of women in leadership. She's apostle to the apostles. And she knows that they're not going to believe her. I wouldn't have believed her. If Jesus sent me, I was like, people aren't going to believe me, Jesus. This is mad. This is a mad story. And yet she's obedient. Again, she's sent. And I was just like, wow, what a story of transformation. What a story of, like, you know, a woman who, you know, just people would have written her off. I would have written her off. We write one people off too easily, don't we? It's like, oh, that's the woman who's like, she's great, you know, she's really lovely, but she's got some issues, she's got a bit of crazy about her. Jesus didn't write her off. And she went from being the woman from who was like deeply, deeply affected, spiritually, mentally, I don't know what that looked like, to being the apostle to the apostles. And why is that? It's because she just said yes. She said yes to Jesus again and again, whether it was like, Jesus, I'm messed up. I need you. I need your grace. I need you. Just help me, you know? And that took courage and that took humility. Whether it was like, actually, Jesus, like, this is scary and it's the most discouraging, it's the most painful, it's the most traumatic, it's the most just evil thing that's going on all around, and I am just, this is terrifying, you know, part of the cross, you know. But she said yes. She's like, I want to hold on. I want to stick it out. I want to dig deep. Or whether I was like, you know what, I want to encounter. I want to position myself to meet with God. She said yes to encounter, and she also said yes to being sent. And for some of us, you know, as we walk in our little journeys, we're at different places, and those things can, like, not necessarily happen, like, in order. You know, we can start off our journeys with Jesus, and we meet him, and he sends us straight away. And then later on, times where it just gets really brutal and really hard and really discouraging. And there are other times when we're like, actually, we've got into a load of mud, and we've got messed up, and we've got into dark, scary places where we need grace just to help us out. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't necessarily happen in order, but each time when we say yes to Jesus, he meets us and he moves us on, and he takes us on in our journey, and he can use just us in our broken, just normal human lives just to do extraordinary things. And I think, like, I kind of think, like, what was going on with Mary? Like, what was going on with this lady from Magdala? Why did she keep saying yes to Jesus? Why did she stick it out when others were bailing out? Why did she get up early when others were asleep? Why did she just keep saying yes? What was going on inside her? And I think probably it was something like she recognized the fact that Jesus believed in her. When she'd written herself off, when others had written her off, when she just lost sight of who she was, Jesus, again and again, I think, right from the start, saw this potential, this divine, knitted together in her mother's womb, potential. And Jesus just pulled it out of her. And so she said yes to God because God was again and again in Christ saying yes to her. And so I want to encourage us to say yes to God at the start of this year, whatever that means for us in our journey, because Jesus is saying yes to you. He's saying yes to us. Thoughts from Mary Magdalene. So what I'd like us to do is just right now just respond to that. If as I've talked, there's just something in you which has just been pulling, I kind of, that's God. God's stirring something in you. And if you just want to just respond to say yes to Jesus, whether it's actually, Jesus, I need your help. Or it's like, actually, I know you're asking me to do some stuff and you're wanting to send me and you're wanting me to kind of push out and not just settle. Or whether or not it's to actually to start getting up early, maybe, you know, metaphorically speaking, and position myself again for encounter. Position myself to know, to meet, to be able to cling to the risen Christ. If there's something in you this morning which is just wanting to say yes to Jesus, Then actually I just want to encourage you just to stand. I just want to pray for fresh grace to walk with Christ this morning. And there's no pressure to stand. It's not like you're saying no to Jesus if you don't. Like, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you so much for them. And I thank you that you say yes to each one of them. You say yes to our journeys. You say yes to moving us on. You say yes to journeying with us. And whether or not we're in that place of Mary at the start of her journey, when we're afflicted, we might feel under it spiritually, mentally, financially, emotionally. We might just feel just deeply, deeply oppressed at the moment in our lives. Or we might be in a place whereby actually, you know, things are just tough. And all around us, things are getting, you know, the heat's being turned up and we might feel disillusioned or discouraged. Or we're just hurting at the moment. Or actually, we might know you at the moment really powerfully in our lives, and you're asking us to go on a mission, which is scary. You're sending us in some way. Jesus, I just want to pray for fresh grace to be able to walk with you, fresh grace to be able to be sent by you, fresh grace to be healed by you, fresh grace to know you, fresh grace to walk with you this year. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are the one that we follow. You are our hero. You are our rabbi. You are our inspiration. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us grace, I pray, to walk with you. Amen.
That was good, wasn't it? And just close your eyes. Your Heavenly Father wants to talk to you. He wants to say thank you for the many, many times you've said yes. He wants to thank you for the small things you've done that nobody else sees. He wants to thank you for those times when you've moved away and then you've moved back towards him. He wants to thank you for those small acts of kindness, for those words of encouragement, for those kind acts, for the things that you thought nobody saw, and at times you felt had little impact, but actually, in his economy, they change lives. And so, on the back of all of that, today, he's asking you to say yes again. On the back of all the small prayers, the reflections, just the little tugs that have been taking place in your heart where you've just felt him tugging you, and at times just whispering to you. Just those voices that have come to you. And in this space we have now, he wants you just to enjoy his presence. He wants you just to come and sit on his knee and be a child again. Because so much of Mary Magdalene's quality of saying yes was childlike. It was just simply trusting. It was just simply just putting it out there one more time. And just trusting.
Every day, every hour, you are faithful, O Lord. Every day, every hour. You are faithful, O Lord. Every day and every hour, you are faithful, O Lord. And every day, every hour, you are faithful, O Lord. Every day.
Why didn't you join in?
Every hour, you are faithful, O Lord. Every day, every hour, you are faithful, O Lord. Every day, every hour, you are faithful, O Lord.
Every day.
Every day.
Every hour.
Every hour.
You.
You are faithful,
O Lord.
O Lord.
His faithfulness is guaranteed. His presence is guaranteed. His love is guaranteed. His hand on your life is guaranteed. His forgiveness is guaranteed. His faith is guaranteed. The finish is guaranteed. The book has been written. The end is there. The promise of standing on the beach with him, with all those that have gone before, is guaranteed. And that is why we're so rich. Because so little in our society at the moment is safe and guaranteed. And it's on that we stand today. At the beginning of a year, which will be full of political turmoil, full of division, probably full of acrimony, may well be full of pain, may well be full of financial uncertainty, may well be full of strife, for many, but he is guaranteed, and his work in your life is guaranteed, and his grace is guaranteed. So why don't you just quietly just pray for the person next to you, and we'll call it a day. Just pray for the person around you. Just break into some times of prayer. And if you see somebody across the room, you want to go and pray for them, or just go and pray for them. Feels like the Lord said what he needs to say. We don't need to do much more. So just pray for each other and minister to each other. Enjoy this space. Leave early. Go down the pub. Have some fun.